to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney, a podcast about getting local Kansas City artists on the couch to chat. Hello, 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 and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello.
I'm Corey.
I'm Courtney.
And today on the show, we have one of our really good new friends, or good whichever. Her name is Emily Workus, like circus.
Yes.
Welcome to the show, Emily.
Hello, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited. Emily, for our listeners, is, by technicality, our last and most recent cast member of Jesus Christ Superstar.
It's true.
So we are only, I think, on day like 8 or 9 of getting to know each other
point. Absolutely. Super fresh.
And you jumped into the pool or the fountain,
ooh,
the metaphorical fountain.
Ooh, like, I like the fountain idea.
Yes.
It's very whimsical.
You should always play in the fountain.
Always.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always say you can always change clothes. Like, get wet. Jump in.
Absolutely.
Have an adventure.
And this has been quite a thing to jump into.
Oh, man. Yes. Yeah. In the best way.
I can't wait to, like, sort of talk to you about that part of the experience. But the first one is, and I kind of know probably what your answer is, but the first question that we ask is, how the fuck did you get to the couch today?
Yes!
Like, how did you get here today? From your perspective, and you can go back as far as you want in your timeline, how did you end up here today?
Well, okay, we won't go too far back. How the fuck did I end up on the couch? That is the best. I actually come from a pretty interesting background in what I call my former life. I was a music educator. Mm-hmm. I had my soul set on being a high school band director, if you'd believe it. And
that's cool.
Yeah, it
You're
was
the
awesome.
First one I know of that.
And I ended up transferring to the University of North Dakota when I went to undergrad. And I was like, you know, the best way to make friends is to join a play. Because I remembered that from high school, so I was like, I'm going to make some new buddies. And then after doing a show or two with them, I had a really strong meeting with one of my mentors up there. She's like, you know, I'm sure music ed is great, but come on. And I was like, fair. So cranked me out with the musical theater and then grad school from there. Recently graduated from Western Illinois University. And shortly after that, and learning a lot about the KC area, decided that this was the move for me, and here we are.
Oh my gosh, we're so glad to have you in Kansas City. You know, the city will probably swoop you up and start using you the second that they see you.
Oh my gosh.
Can you imagine?
you can't see my cheeks are immediately turning red.
That's so good, the dream.
Yeah. So you came to us, the Jesus Christ Superstar, you know, has had some strange cast changes that have taken place, mostly because of successful things, you know, for other people and really cool opportunities that took place, and so you're kind of racking our brains on what amazing creatures we could bring in, and then you were recommended to us, and then we listened and
got some video,
yes. And then all of a sudden, and I believe we hired you, what was that, 2 weeks ago, and we were like, why don't you come down to Hamburger Mary's tonight?
Yes.
We're going to have
literally the day after.
Like, you want to jump in? Like, here we go.
Oh my gosh.
Welcome
it was
the weird.
Yeah.
But it looked like, it was immediately walking into that event, too, because I texted a friend of mine. I was like, all right, is this the moment to be walking into the room by yourself and being like, all right, this is me now. And they were like, yes.
And it was
the best decision.
Oh,
sat down with a table full of Evie's friends.
Yes.
We had a bop.
That night was so fun. Like, the energy in that bar, it was good that night. I've been to quite a few bingo nights there, to be honest. And they all have a pretty good pulse to it. But this was the first time it was, like, us. And so that room was a representation of, I think, the weirdos that were sort of in that room. And I danced for those dollars, motherfuckers.
You sure did.
Or moved to them. I'm not sure if I danced to them.
No, there was some dancing. Yes, it was fantastic.
Dancing involved me.
Which is also, in hindsight, what we were sort of talking about afterward, and I was like, that was Emily's first impression of us, is me bumping and grinding for some dollars.
But also, that was like, I had a phone conversation shortly after I left, and I was just like, well, I got my first taste of the people I'm going to be working with / working for, and I could not be more pleased.
That was cool.
It was amazing.
You did get thrown right in. I mean, that was because that was everybody, most of our board, most of, like, the, well, not, I guess not too many of the performers, because not everyone could be there with rehearsals and stuff, but then, like, the sisters, and...
It was, like, a representation of Kansas City, too, and what our support
absolutely is.
Well, it was entirely wonderful, and something that stuck out to me as well is that, like, it was immediately welcoming, which is something I've noticed about Kansas City in general. Mm-hmm. It's like, I've moved here from, and I'm not trying to say that Illinois is necessarily a colder place, but the environment is a little chillier, and then, like, coming into here and being, like, expecting that a little bit, if that doesn't sound terrible, just because, you're the new guy. And everyone's just like, how can we take you in? How can we make you feel comfortable and supported? And, like, the JCS cast in general, as I've just been overwhelmed by them in the best way.
It's a good crop of kids.
It is.
And it's entirely wonderful.
Yeah. It's been interesting to watch, because there's a good mix of, like, there are people in that cast that I have known for 20 years, and there's people in that cast that I've known for 2 weeks, and everybody seems to be, like, just the most perfect little family, but then everybody is, like, latched on to their people. Like, I was talking to Jessica last night, and she's like, Emily's my show partner.
She calls me her work wife.
And that is something that we also kind of talked about in that regard of, like, you guys now are all still individual, but you have become also, like, the amoeba. You know, the chorus, the moments. Like, there's just something really cool about watching everyone exist together.
Yeah.
Like, we've been in the room. I'm right now, I'm personally trying to stay out as much as I can, because once I'm in, I can't.
There's no leaving.
Well, I won't be able to leave.
Yeah.
And Kyle and I will talk about notes and things that I like, or just, like, I already gave him a few things, you know, that, but in a good way, and I'm still wanting there to be this creativeness in the room, and then we'll come in and talk about
it. Sure, I'm just excited for sure. To, like, move up in the theater, because I just walked past and the set started to go in, and
we
I'm like,
loaded
oh,
in
we're so close.
A lot yesterday.
That was
a long work day.
we labored on Labor Day.
Yes, we did. We did.
Better work.
But that was cool. Yeah, and so you are one of, I think, 9 women in the room or something like that. I think so.
It's a very women heavy cast.
Yeah. Like, if there's 16 people or something, I think you hold the majority. I'm assuming you identify as a female.
Yes.
What an assumption. Oh, God. In real time,
no worries,
I was just like,
oh,
shit.
Oh, my God.
So that was just one of the cool things, is I definitely think that the room changes its feeling sort of based upon, because you have a male captain, Kyle, but you're sort of cast and then staff
co-pilot of Miss Aaron Bates.
Yeah, you're Aaron Bates. Like, she's extraordinary. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, a total powerhouse.
Yes. And you've got Mackenzie, a stage manager. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got some good, beautiful Georgiana in costumes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good show.
It's going to be pretty freaking amazing.
We are officially day 9 into the rehearsal process now.
Mm-hmm. That sounds accurate to me.
Right?
Yes.
7 was Saturday, 8, oh no, 10. Yes. 7 was Saturday,
Yeah.
I'm good at the math. I should run a business.
This
past weekend, we closed Mamma Mia. That was fun here.
Yes.
So now, congratulations. That was the first sold-out run of the Barn Players from every performance that they've had in at least 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That was really cool for them.
Yeah, it was great.
The building was full of people. We had you guys downstairs. Sunday was a good day for me. That was
solid. Just stuff happening
all over the place.
Yeah.
So now let's get to know who the hell you are.
Yes.
Well, let's do this. So, like, where do you live?
I live actually up north in Kansas City in Zaragoza.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And is that, are you, like, you moved to Kansas City, right?
Yes.
So you, like, just jumped in the pool when you got here?
Jumped in the pool.
Wow.
I finished up my summer contracts, and it was, I think, less than 24 hours afterwards, I had my car packed, and I was here on the 5th of July.
What was the last show you did?
I directed Rabbit Hole.
With
Festival 56.
Just a light piece.
You know, just a dainty summer ditty.
That is the 5th reference to Tangent.
It's true. We have talked about rabbit holes more today than perhaps
You're kidding.
Well,
do you believe in rabbit holes?
You know, that was a conversation we had with our cast, actually. Talking about, like, hypothetically, if this existed, and also how much, like, Becca might be actually clinging to the idea that it actually does exist for some sort of survival technique.
Uh-huh.
I would love to believe that there is.
I believe there is.
Yeah?
And that play is the reason I believe in them.
I love that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw Cynthia Nixon do it in New York, and I watched. Oh, I was sitting like from the fifth row, and all of a sudden I was like, that's what I've been looking for, mm-hmm. is the idea that just move over one, and every instance can be the same, except for one thing.
One decision.
Yes.
Or like one thing is off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Where we're sitting here having couch chats, but you never moved to Kansas City.
Right.
So therefore, this was still going to be a couch chats today,
mm-hmm.
but
yeah.
you potentially aren't here.
Yeah.
That
that's
idea.
True.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, that's
blows
that's,
my brains out.
Blows my mind.
I'm probably sitting here just like,
yeah.
Well, yeah. It's the first
Isn't
thing that
makes
sense.
Isn't that the explanation for déjà vu too?
Yeah,
that, like,
that's why I believe
this has
yeah.
happened
yeah.
before, and
mm-hmm.
it's just happened on a different plane or whatever.
You've lived that track already,
right?
Almost,
oh, that's
sort
incredible.
Of.
Yeah.
So, and your body is saying, "Oh,
we know what
yeah,
this is.
I know what this is." It was a fun way to.
Do you think there are people that don't experience déjà vu?
Oh, I would like to meet them. That's not a thing.
I wouldn't know if blind people do.
Oh, interesting.
Because
oh,
there's
déjà vu sight related?
Well, I don't know, but I'm saying
I feel
like there's times that maybe it is for me that mm-hmm. my surroundings are what remind me of it. So mm-hmm. I wonder if, like, if you were blind, would you, like, would conversation sound the same? Like, would you start
mm-hmm.
to be like...
Or it would just be a completely different sensory recognition experience.
Yeah, right.
Because people say that blind people dream, so how do they do that? Is that,
well,
is that their brain making up what a tree looks like? And then...
These
hey,
are life's big questions.
You know? And the stuff that we talk about on Couch Chats.
You know, it's,
right.
it's the... It's
very
the
existential
here.
That's what? Very interesting. Because well, Corey and I once were at a meeting in a Panera, and we saw a... deaf
Storm
person,
trooper.
No, a deaf person signing, but there was nobody there, and mm-hmm. we realized they were talking to themselves. And I was like, well, for the love of sweet
Whoa.
Jesus, that's intense. Like, but
yeah.
so amazing. But, like, it would have never, that would have never occurred to me that that was the scenario.
Yep.
I was just like, hold
right.
on, I've got to live in this minute.
Hold
like,
the phone.
Right. It was insane.
They were talking to themselves.
But we did also see a stormtrooper.
We also have seen a stormtrooper once, but that was different.
Sorry,
but
we saw a stormtrooper. Anyway.
Panera provides
right.
a
we
lot
were just in there,
action.
And both it was like
provides.
Silent,
yeah.
and the stormtrooper just walks by the window, and both
Shut
of us were
up.
Like, what just happened? And there was just another guy on a laptop that goes,
I
saw
it
too.
Yeah.
And just kept going with his day. I was like, all right, well, as long as he saw it too,
as
I guess
we
we're not.
We both move on.
It's weird because I don't think it was like Comic-Con. It was just like
oh.
for like and for real, like a full out.
We were just like,
yeah, yeah.
Which proves our point. Did we go into a tangent universe?
Right, into a different
like,
reality.
So literally, you're like the fourth or fifth conversation we've
it's
had
true.
About
we
this
started
today.
Like that.
Amazing. Well, I'm glad I could.
So yeah. So
universe.
You don't know if you believe in rabbit holes, tangent universes.
I think I love this déjà vu idea.
Mm-hmm.
I would have never considered that,
mm-hmm.
but I definitely think that there's more out there, whether or not it's rabbit holes or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think the world is too large. We are so small.
Mm-hmm.
there
so
just
you do
has
you
to
do
be.
Look for an explanation of some sort. You're someone who strives to find that explanation.
I'm someone who finds comfort in explanations, but I'm actually like I'm learning the longer I grow up.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't need them as much as I thought that I did.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm becoming more comfortable with question marks. And I know that theater actually has 100% to do with this. I took a contemporary play class where most of contemporary theater now is grounded in question marks.
Yeah.
And I remember like the first quarter of the semester just being like,
what?
I just need to decide, but what if we decided as a class what the ending is, and the teacher being like, that's not the goddamn point.
Yeah, yeah. And you're just like, okay.
Yeah, and like having to be comfortable with that, and then how many doors that opens for your understanding not having to know things in black and white. And
people, I think, are scared of not having answers.
Oh, 100%.
And it gives me some freedom, but it probably scares me a little bit too. I definitely like a finite resolution.
Yeah.
You know? I don't think I want to always...
Yeah.
Live in a question mark, but I think I ask myself a lot of questions, so therefore,
you want the answers? I don't know. I feel like I don't
want...
need the answers to like the big questions, and I do need
yes.
the small answers.
I want
well,
the
I would,
question
I would
be to
more
be
akin to Courtney. Yeah.
Out there. I don't know if I need it answered. I just want everyone to have considered it. So be like, you don't necessarily have to believe in what I'm saying or
but
what I'm thinking.
But have you at least thought about it?
But have you thought about the idea that rabbit holes exist? And then someone can be like, I have and no, I don't believe in them. Or to be like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Let's learn.
Yeah. Yes.
Because space seems so big to me.
Well,
oh, yeah.
It's infinite, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's ever, well, it's ever creating, therefore it doesn't exist. Like, it's the both. It can't be, it is infinite, therefore it is nothing. Because it has no
mm-hmm. It has no limits. I don't.
Yeah.
I'm going to quote Mean Girls.
Right.
The limit does not exist.
Yeah. Right? I mean, yeah.
The limit does not exist.
Yeah.
I'm like, I was like, what part of that? It's the end.
Yeah.
It's the competition. I was like, what? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel it's fun to think of because it is so large. I can't. It's like my husband, he might even be here in the other room right now, talks about sort of that idea of once you see Earth from a spaceship,
mm-hmm.
your entire brain like expands.
Yeah.
Like there's like research on the fact of like
sure.
what that is like when you
right.
when you actually are above all of humanity to know that living, you know, that
right.
to actually experience it.
To actually experience what that is, to be
sure.
above it all.
Right.
You know, and I'm like,
yeah,
I couldn't imagine what a sunrise looked like from space. I think my brain would be like, Earth is boring.
Yeah.
I've talked about that come a certain age. I don't know if I would be against being on that first flight to Mars.
Oh,
you
sure.
know, that never comes back.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if things sort of lined up, it might be really interesting to be the first colonization.
The first one out there.
Yeah. Why not? Doesn't Mars need a Corey Childs? Yes.
Answer?
Well,
probably.
Maybe it already has one.
Maybe it already
And we've come
full circle. But yet the circle's infinite.
Full
so
ball.
Have we even begun?
For the love of sweet Jesus.
This
who
has been
knew
fun?
We would get this?
And that was couch chats. But yeah, I mean, I sort of feel that way in the room, you know, because I want to also talk about Jesus Christ Superstar, you know, because we're in this world of... I don't want to say we all, but many people have experienced Jesus Christ Superstar in their own way, and the fact that we are not the first people to approach this material, nor the last, that's fun about theater, is we are, which I think is a common, like, marketing tool, like, we're telling it our way, but isn't every show and director, like, telling it
their
way, you know, unless you completely regurgitate, but you can't regurgitate because you don't have the same cast.
Right.
Yeah, you have to work to everybody's.
But this show is different because you are in it, Emily. Like, it was different when you weren't in it. And now, it is a completely different show with your energy and how you change that room. And we know, I think we were talking about last night that, you know, that Kyle's worked with only probably like 5 or 6 people in that room, honestly.
Wow.
But yet Kyle is doing such a great job of making everyone, like, believe in themselves, and the best decision, I think, usually wins in the room, which is a fun directing style.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's something I've grown to just absolutely love about working with Kyle, is that he's of course, like, the end-all be-all in terms of, like, the best idea in the room. He's like, yep, we're gonna go with that. But if there's something that he's just like, this is a question mark for me, you know what, thoughts. And just opens up the space. I haven't worked with many directors who are like that. And just, like, be like, wait, are you serious?
What kind of director are you?
What kind of director am I? I am someone who likes to let... I'm actually not exactly, like... I mean, I can't even compare myself to Kyle. It's just not even a thing. But I do like to let actors take the reins.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, not completely, like, herding cats. Let actors take the reins. But be like, you know what? Here's the bare bones structure of this. See what happens.
I always know how my shows start and end. And in between, I have paper blocked it. You know,
sure.
But obviously one moment can change anything. But, once they start getting into it, you're the actor. You're the character.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do with that cup? And unless I want you to do specifically something with that cup because I think it means something.
Absolutely.
What do you want to do with that cup?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want
to
do with
that?
There has to be
a natural instinct. Or then what do you do? You know what I mean? Like, why are you hiring
actors? And sometimes
actors who... are, you know.
Yeah, if they're just there to be a puppet, then, like, what are we doing here?
Exactly.
And sometimes, you know, the actor may not know yet, you know, I keep, all of a sudden it's going to be about a cup here, and it's really not about a cup. But, like, you know, you may be like, you always hold that cup in your left hand, and the actor may be like, but I need to put it in my right, and be like, but I promise you at the end, there's going to be a reward for that left-handed cup. Just trust me, we're going to get there. But so I also think that's kind of a fun time when you direct a show to almost hold some of those secrets in your decisions. They're fun. But absolutely. Kyle, it's been fun to watch Kyle make all of you work. I mean, in the most honest way, he's making everyone in the room be participatory, because you all sort of have a say in the next moment. You know, and I watched him adjust something because it wasn't landing with a few of you, and then he made it land. And it was, anyway, it was cool. So you're somewhere in the in-between, or you're more on the Kyle side? I'm very tangenty today.
Yeah, no, I'm all for the tangents. I guess I would put myself more on the somewhere in between but Kyle side.
Yeah.
I love going in with a plan, because you have to know where you're going and you have to know what story that you're telling. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I think that it gives actors so much more ownership of the play itself, what we're creating as an ensemble, and of their work with the character individually, if they are able to approach all of the decisions, especially from the beginning, themselves. Mm-hmm. And if they're completely lost, then I like to be the one who sits back and be like, well, what is the more interesting choice? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe we haven't thought about this as much as we have. And then usually it's like, oh crap, I have not. and then that opens the door for completely new things. That's how I prefer to work. Collaborative.
I learned really probably in the last year that it's okay to say I will get back to that instead of just, and that's not just in directing, but it kind of came
in
from
life.
A directing moment where I was like, it is okay for me to say, instead of saying, no, actually just go left and move that chair, and to say I will come back to that and figure out that moment, you know, and that was something that was really difficult, because I always felt like when all of the eyes come to you, you have to have that answer, and I appreciate sort of learning to say, I'll get back to you. Mm-hmm. I don't have that yet. And it's worked well in my professional life, too. I have stopped writing emails because they may want the response, but they don't want my bullshit response.
Right.
So, that's worse.
Because then I got to retract it maybe later, so how about I just really take the time. Because I think sometimes social media and emails and phones give an unexpected urgency to things that you don't control my life. Kind of. I'm allowed to take 15 minutes and finish what I was doing.
The urgency of having a computer in your hand at all times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
I push against it a lot. People a lot of times are just like, oh, well, so-and-so texted me. And I'm like, you do not have to respond back.
Right.
Exactly.
Like, don't ignore them. Like, you know, there's a question asked of you, but...
Mm-hmm. But the power is ultimately in your hands.
Evie Craig said one of my favorite comments on a Saturday about someone we were talking to. She was just like, I am with my family right now. I'm sorry. I'm going to take that. And appreciate her, who I'm sure can hear us through the wall right now. You know, I appreciate that answer more than anything.
Yeah.
Because you are with your family. Like...
And that is okay.
I mean, you can't really disappear. You need to acknowledge that probably you need to get back to that, but finish your thought or your moment, or realize that that's something that can be answered on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. So also appreciating the response sometimes of, I've received this, I'll get back to you. Because it sometimes sucks to have yourself...
Thanks so much for reaching out.
Yeah, understand sort of that being left out to dry sort of feeling when you're just like, well, did they even get it? Because sometimes my phone sucks and, you know, and so I do appreciate when someone says, I received this, I'm just not answering it right now.
Sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I heard the most brilliant thing on Rachel Hollis's podcast, actually, when she was talking about balancing business or work life with self-care, and like how some people just can't see the middle ground of sacrificing one for the other. And she talks about like waking up an hour early, taking an hour for yourself, yada, yada, yada. And someone responded to that, like, what a great idea. In my first hour of the day, I just sit down and I clear my inbox. And I'm, like, listening to the podcast. I'm like, wow, that's a really admirable thing. And she's like, nuh-uh. She's like, you are starting your day with you time. Great. Answering to everybody else's agenda. and yeah. their plans for your time. Right. She's like missing the point. And it was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
mm-hmm. Entirely
whoa.
Right.
Well, I think it's the inclination. I mean, you know, it, let's not like forget that it hasn't been that long for all of that to be at your mm-hmm. fingertips. Like,
it's been less than 10 years.
Oh, absolutely. Because I didn't, I mean, I was still on, you know, I was like, whoa, the brand new QWERTY
yes.
keyboard has arrived when Isabel
with
was
the
born.
Full keypad.
exactly. Yeah. Like, oh, I remember that my mom didn't know how to use the phone when I was in labor with my, with Isabel to get Alex back up because she had not seen a QWERTY keyboard. Like, so,
wow.
and she's only 8. Like, that's not, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's not been that long where I'm just like, and email's been around forever. I mean,
but it
forever,
wasn't on my
forever.
Phone, though.
But it wasn't, yeah, you didn't have that, like, instant, I must know right this moment. And it's just like, why do we do that to ourselves where, like, you wake up and you start checking your stuff? And, you know, I mean, there's some stuff that you can do on the phone that is about yourself and just being like, I'm going to wake up and play solitaire or whatever, you know, whatever it is that you need to do in the morning. But, like, it's just so weird that like, we seem to know people better because of social media. Like, I feel like
mm-hmm.
I know what's happening in your life, even though I don't know what's, you know, like, in that moment, I don't know.
For sure.
But at
it's
the same time,
facade.
I don't, you know.
Yes.
But then you get people who are like, oh, I know you because I've seen you on social media. And I'm like, but we don't know each other in real life, though. That's
Do
weird,
really?
You know.
My husband talked about it. I just finished a 13-week run of judging Drag Race KC,
mm-hmm.
Drag
Amazing.
Survivor, Kansas City, at
mm-hmm.
Hamburger Mary's. 13 weeks, the winner was Lana, and
mm-hmm.
she earned it. She was great. The top four were all incredible, but we had to be there every week. And my husband, I think he did 11 out of 13,
mm-hmm.
and people would come up to him and be like, oh my god, I know you, or hey, that's great. And he eventually was like,
you don't know.
You don't fucking know me.
Right. Well, unless you curate your social media. Like, you know,
right.
I mean, everybody does, like, without
right.
even thinking about it. Not even necessarily intentionally. Just, like,
oh,
I'm
not
posting everything. So, like,
oh.
you know.
Well, we took a photo last night that I just posted today.
It sure, we did.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how life works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is sort of interesting because my life and my business are kind of one thing,
same,
though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
My alarm. I think the reason why I start checking shit right when I wake up is because my phone is my alarm.
Yeah.
And I sometimes feel like I have to clear all of those things to get
past
it.
Yeah.
But I guess I could just turn off push notifications on my phone and then have to go and open
those. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And go open each one of those things individually. I'm very close to deleting Facebook off of my page, so
mm-hmm.
I would have to go and log into it.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram, I still want to keep on there because I want to flip through, but there's times that I feel like I need to give myself the extra step of Facebook.
Yeah.
Because during the day in the office, on my dual screen, it is up
it's
because
up, right.
I've actually had 6 conversations about our business
right.
just from Facebook
it's
Messenger.
It's become a forum for that.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
kind
Absolutely.
Of our, I mean, Courtney and I's like biggest chat forums
yeah.
in some of our meetings, you know, with each other. And
mm-hmm.
it's a quick way to send something
it's incredible.
Internally in the office. But yeah, I'm very close to getting rid of it when I leave here because it is such a tool
sure.
during the day. Yet I don't really have the balls to do it yet.
You
know?
Can't pull the trigger on
well,
that
it's,
Facebook.
That's interesting.
I have no idea what my password is to do it. That's
but
honestly
actually,
why I'm like,
yeah.
Ooh, I don't know if I can take it off because I don't know how to get back on.
I love to talk about addictions. Addictions are not just drugs and alcohol and tobacco.
Right.
Addictions
yeah.
are,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
I gotta see what's on that sometimes. And so we talk about whenever we get back from vacations and stuff that I kind of wish that I never jump back in. That
yeah.
I really,
oh, sure.
but then it always sucks me in because I want to show people my vacation photos. And
which,
then
and then
I'm
the impetus
there.
Of the why do you want
why
to
show
them?
Why do I
want to
do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's those questions that you don't necessarily want to think about all too hard.
No.
I know that
I
get self gratification for it, but I also just like to. I'm kind of a bad person saying that I want to show people that it's okay to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like. Look at this amazing day I had. Like,
mm-hmm.
did you have an amazing day? You know, like, it's one of those things. And I never want to be embarrassed for the amazing opportunities I have.
Well,
sometimes.
So.
Yeah, but
yeah.
I'm saying, like, those are sort of, like, my generic answers on why I want to put those things out there is because there's a lot of people who I think are almost too scared to be happy in some
sure.
ways. In a really fucked up sentence form of that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I don't know that I think that
just because you can do it instantly means that people didn't want to talk about, like, their vacations. I mean, you know, it's, I know, well, I don't know about everybody in the room, but, like, my parent or my grandparents went to, you know, on a cruise and I had to come back and watch the slideshow. Well, you know, it just took a lot longer. It was like, we have to get those pictures developed or we have to, you know, whatever. Yes. It was 3 weeks before we could see them. But I feel like that's sharing that kind of stuff is normal, I think. It's why people have wedding albums or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. The people who get wedding videos. I don't understand those people, but...
Did you get a wedding
show? Fuck no. I didn't hire a real photographer. Like, no. Because I feel like, and this is really sad, if there's any friends out there, I'm sorry, I apologize in advance, but I feel like people who get wedding videos are the people who assume that the divorce is coming and that that's the thing you watch while, like, binging on your bed insurance or whatever. Because who sits down to do that? Like, who sits down and is like let's just watch ourselves get married? That's just so weirdly vain to me. I don't know. It's not, no.
Do
I don't
you
wanna...
Are you vain? Do you love...
Coming at me. Are you vain?
Like, do you...
I think everyone's a little vain.
Yeah, a little, yeah.
I think those are fun conversation points. Yeah.
It all comes back to ego. Like, with literally everything. The reason you have social media is it's a little ego boost when you post something and people like it. Mm-hmm. Or if you know that, like, you've done something really good for yourself or good... I follow a lot of fitness people on social media, a lot of fitness influencers, and I know there's a strong difference between the ones who are just, like, trying to show you, like, a normalized lifestyle change and the ones who are like, I did an awesome thing. Mm-hmm. Look at this salad.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, like... Yeah. And then it ends up being more of a... It's, like, a constant... looking at content and maybe a self-shame process and then trying to heal from that by posting your own content and healing your ego, and like the cycle of that is just fascinating.
But I think that's a new epidemic of us almost trying to prove that we're the more healthier or happier person.
Yeah.
More
adjusted
way.
Or in a relationship. Like, there's always those people who post like a little too much about like relationship stuff on Facebook too. And it's like, something. Mm-hmm. We think thou dost post too much.
Right. Yeah.
It can't be.
No, it's not.
I really have problems with people posting shit about their relationships on social media.
Just like every day in your face.
Yeah.
Like,
I do have the benefit of my husband is not on social media, so I can never tag him anything. Like, I don't, it doesn't, and I don't think that it would occur to me if all of a sudden he decided to pick up social media, which he would be worthless at. I mean, like, I have to maintain it because I maintain too many businesses off of it.
For sure.
But I can't imagine, and maybe it's just that I've known too many, like, behind-the-scenes influencer-type people that I'm like, I just wish that every now and again, when they posted the perfect picture, that they posted the shitstorm around it.
Oh my gosh, those are my favorite posts.
You know, where you're just like, I wish that happened more. Because then I think that people would realize that, like, maybe they have the perfect light box and everything looks beautifully laid out and it's, you know, whatever. But it's just, like, absolute madness outside of that, you know, tiny square foot of whatever they're, you know, photographing. Because nobody's life functions like that.
No.
I just happen to be much more aware that I have a shitstorm of a life that I'm like, ooh, I got a good picture. Let's post that. Because
it's
worth
it.
It's not,
yeah. I mean, the other way, I honestly don't have that many friends I hang out with, so I have to post photos with my husband.
That's how they keep up with you.
Because that's who I'm hanging out with. It's just me and my husband, so it may always
by
be
default.
Photos of him. But that's who I'm hanging out. Like, tonight, there'll be a photo of us at the Royals game, because goddamn, I want to go to a Royals game before the end of the year. I try to do every year, and so we're going tonight, you know. I definitely tell people how much I love my husband a lot on social media. But it's true. I do.
Yeah, but it's not like a...
There's a difference, though.
But I don't ever...
It's a subtle difference.
I don't fight. I don't tell anyone when we fight. I don't tell anyone that shit, because it's none of their business.
Nope.
I also don't like gross love stuff. It's not like, it's the people who are like overcompensating. It's just like, I love this guy. Look at him and wearing these stupid hats. But you know what I mean? It's
not stupid like, that's the first place we went to.
Well, you should know how often Corey posts about stupid hats.
Now that we're Facebook friends, you'll see.
I've got some scrolling to do.
Yeah, Corey and I spent a good deal of time in masks. It comes, you know.
Well, because I just, like, to that sort of point, there's often that I will stop and take a photo because there's so much chaos happening around this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we are out here doing something crazy. Can we just pause and be like, there's 150 nutcrackers behind us? You know, at one point, and you're just like, this is not normal. Why is there 150 nutcrackers behind us?
Selfie. Well, it's a nice yearbook. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I like it for just, like, the fact that I can go back and have milestones of, like, touch points of where I was and what I was doing and how my kids have grown and that kind of stuff. That is just, it's just, that doesn't mean that I've posted everything that's in my phone, but for the most part, I like to be able to do that. Plus, I'm a psychopath that has to, like, once I've posted it, I don't feel like I need to save it. Like, I'm a crazy person.
I save everything.
My husband saves everything, too, so it's good, because he'll have all the pictures.
But use social media as a complete marketing tool as well. Mm-hmm. Like, it is 100%. I'm not doing anything besides Facebook and Instagram for all of Jesus Christ Superstar, personally.
Right.
I mean, that's it. Like, that's our two outlets.
And it'll work like that.
And it will work.
Mm-hmm.
If you got the right hashtags and the right people sharing and then it spreads like wildfire, it's just absolutely
insane. I love that you said that everyone's a little bit vain, because I agree with that. You sort of have to be, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, especially if you're in a business where, I'm just going to say as actors as anyone, you are the product.
Yes.
You're marketing yourself.
Yeah.
So you have to get comfortable with talking about yourself and what you're good at and what you might be lacking in, but also what you're working towards. Like,
well, it may come a point where you are my biggest asset to a show, Emily. Like, you may, like, I might be like, listen, if I put Emily in this show, people are going to come, people enjoy her work, people trust her.
Yeah.
You then are your own marketing tool. Yeah. You might actually have gotten the role over someone else because people are going to come and
just to
see you.
Yeah.
Or a following. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of friends like that. Don't even get it twisted that I'm we should find a place for them in the show because they're going to...
Because people will come.
Because we're going to bring people to it.
Yep.
And you can't beat that kind of free publicity
sometimes. No, not at all.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely.
So do we begin our question and answer?
I will not make you answer anything, but I just would like to say that I noticed your necklace, and we could talk off or on about it.
Oh my goodness! Yes, I have not met anybody else who knows.
I do know what it is, and we don't have to talk on air about it if you don't want to.
Is that something you would like to talk about or not talk about?
Well, speaking of social media influencers, this is from Raw Alignment, or Elise, what's her last name? It begins with a B, like Burger for. But she is a huge YouTube influencer in just like lifestyle and positivity and body positivity, and she was a big vegan advocate for a very long time, which is how I found her, because I nerd out about stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then, actually quite recently, she just decided not to be vegan anymore, and the internet exploded.
Oh.
And it was all because she was like, you know what? I found out that it wasn't working with my body, and I felt sick all the time, so I'm just not going to do that. And all of like the hardcore vegans gave her like the giant internet middle finger and threw all of that crap. And she made a couple videos about it. She's like, it's hurtful, but at the end of the day, my life and my body, and if I feel better, y'all can... y'all can fuck the fuck right off.
What does that necklace mean to you?
What?
What does that necklace mean to you?
I was initially drawn to this because, okay, so it's got a heart and a compass arrow, right? And so it's been a rather challenging year, without going into too much personal detail. But I made a resolution to myself this New Year's that if I was going to make any choices that seemed potentially life-altering, that I was going to trust that I knew intrinsically in myself where to go and what to do, and just sort of to be able, because I'm someone who likes to white knuckle control a little bit.
Welcome to the club.
Yes, we have business cards. It's great. So that was a very big step personal development wise for me. So this, every time like I wear it or I see it, it reminds me that trusting yourself truly is enough. And letting the compass or be your heart or who you are, it will always lead you where you're supposed to be. And man, I can't think of a stronger example than trusting up into the universe or whatever the hell you want to call it, where I was supposed to go. Because I had all my plans to go to Chicago. I was doing auditions, applying for jobs. And then very much out of nowhere, I was like, you know what? Where I'm supposed to be, it will become obvious. And the moment you let go, how much floods in.
Yeah.
And right. Here we are.
Sure.
There we are.
Absolutely.
It's very interesting. So, believe it or not, like, we really are at the very end of it.
I know.
We have already talked for 50 minutes.
I cannot believe
it. Right?
Time
it
was
so quick. So, for those listeners who are just checking in, we're talking to our friend Emily Werkus, like Circus.
Like,
I love it. So, I have, those actually aren't even the questions.
Yeah, those are going to
That's
go
for
on
the next round.
Thing. I know.
Oh my god.
Those are for the next round.
Well, Dina. That, all right, I'm
That's
ready.
For our private one that we have.
Okay.
So, what is your definition of real magic?
Right, he just drops them. No prep.
Yeah, oh my gosh, no prep for anything. Real magic. I get, like, definition to me of, like, what magic is,
mm-hmm.
or just, like,
mm-hmm.
in general. Mm-hmm. I think there's...
It's your hour.
Oh, man. I think that real magic to me is in connections with other people.
Cool.
Meeting other people in your life. One of my favorite quotes in this entire world, and speaking of social media, I just posted it recently because I was thinking about it, is when I see another human and see their heart and who they truly are, I fall in love a little. And that's someone else's quote, but I will steal it mercilessly because
Perfect.
I love it. Meeting other people and seeing what makes them passionate, hearing them talk, even if I know nothing about it, that is magic
nice.
To me. To see that light up in their eyes and the way that their heart shines out through their pores, I live
I
in
think
that.
Human connection is definitely mm-hmm. magical.
For sure.
I think that was one of my answers. We are week 60, 70. We've been doing this.
Yeah.
We are on year
Incredible.
Two of this damn podcast.
Congratulations.
It's so exciting. But we have had so many amazing answers to these things over the years. And there's been a couple of times that Courtney and I have had to just have a podcast ourselves because there's something that we wanted to talk
mm-hmm.
about and not have a guest on. Or
For sure.
there's 28 feet of snow on the ground mm-hmm. and we can't get a damn guest
in here.
So we're like,
so
it's you and me, babe, talking. So, but we tend to want to ask each other those questions too, just to kind of keep them fresh and see if our answers
mm-hmm.
change. And I think human connection is
yeah.
one of ours.
Absolutely.
Family's been one, like childbirth has been
mm-hmm.
one. Like
oh,
there's
wow.
been, because that's pretty magical.
Too. Oh yeah.
It's something.
Your
it's not the
Chinese.
Prettiest.
It's something.
Not the prettiest magic, but
magic nonetheless.
Yes.
Your question.
All right. You are a new addition to the crayon box. What color are you, and why?
Wow. I love this so much. I would probably have to be some shade of blue for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Probably somewhere in the mix between like cerulean and teal.
Cerulean is a color, evidently, right now. You're the third
yeah.
week in a row.
Uh-huh.
Shut up.
And you've never listened to the podcast, right?
No, never have.
Amazing.
I mean, it's like one of my favorite colors.
I love cerulean.
Close
yeah.
to it today.
I love it because of Miranda from Devil Wears Prada.
Sure, absolutely.
This is
yes.
cerulean.
Mm-hmm.
What is something that you were told that you could never do or do well that you are currently in the process of accomplishing?
Acting.
Acting.
Point blank. Unfortunately, a lot of people close or that have been close in my life, especially when I dropped out of music being the career choice, they were just like, you're gonna go on a thing? And I remember, unfortunately for me, and if my mother ever hears this, I apologize in advance, but there was a huge turning point in terms of the decision to stay with theater as a career where I was watching Hairspray at Chanhassen Dinner Theater in Chanhassen, Minnesota, and we had front row seats, and I remember, like, starting, or seeing the show start and, like, weeping from top to bottom. It's Hairspray. We're not talking about anything truly, like, super deep here.
I love Hairspray.
However, I mean, like, there's a lot of we could talk about Hairspray for hours someday.
Did you know you're in a show with the person who started it at Starlight?
Mm-hmm.
Jessica Alcorn.
Jessica, yeah.
Played Tracy at Starlight.
Of course she did.
Yeah. And I wept from top to bottom.
Wept from top to bottom.
And literally a year ago, I just got done playing Penny,
of
which was
did.
Like hashtag dreams.
And that was a year ago for her, too.
Of course
mm-hmm.
you did. You're
yes.
a perfect Penny.
Yes.
Loved her. But she leaned over to me and she, like, at intermission, and I was kind of, like, having a moment to, like, collect myself. And she goes, so you really think you can do that, right? And I remember sitting there, like, and actually considering it. Like, do I really think I can do that? And it didn't take me long. I was like, yes, actually I do. And she was like, all right, we'll see. And ended up finishing my schooling, going to grad school, and still, like, pursuing that. And actually, it ended up being a pretty cool moment later. I was actually in a production of Avenue Q. Of all things, for my mother to see. where she saw Boeing Boeing the next night, and it was after Boeing Boeing.
These are all really good shows. You were in all of these shows?
Yes.
I'd kill to be in all of them.
I'm very lucky.
Were you one of the slutty steward, the flight attendants?
I was.
Yeah, you were.
I was Gabriella on Italia. She came up to me and she was just like, she asked if I remembered that, and I said yes, and she's just like, you're really good at this. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's all choice. I was like, to myself, I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
But I was like,
but also super validating after someone like really planting a seed, and unfortunately not the only person in my mentorship community at the time to be like, this seems like a weak choice. Mm-hmm. But now here we are, and it's whatever.
You're here today because you said yes then.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. What the fuck got you to the couch today? Saying yes all of
Saying
those years.
Saying yes. Yeah.
That's
a production of Hairspray and Dreams. Yeah. Truly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My parents had to ask me the same question. Not that they weren't supporting me, but they were like, if you want to pursue this, this is the first step. And it was about taking acting classes a long, long time ago. And I had to think really hard about, is this really what I want to kind of do? And do I like it? I'm kind of scared. And then that, yes, changed my life. You know, I've never, it's never been the same since that day at all. My entire life took a tangent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's going to definitely be a title of this. Tangents.
The tangents, yeah.
Tangents.
That's true. All right. What problem or situation did TV or movies make you think would be a much bigger deal in real life?
Be a much bigger deal in real life? Mm-hmm. I'm not entirely... I feel really foolish right now. I'm not entirely sure I understand what you're asking.
Like did suggestions?
Do you remember... Yeah, we've had... I'll give a suggestion that we've had.
Quicksand.
Quicksand. Like, watching TV when you were a kid... It was like, I thought quicksand was going to be a thing I would have to deal with. Like, you know what I mean?
Something that you were going to have to face that TV
that scene that made you be like, this is going to be really important.
This
is going
to be
kind
a thing I have to do.
And you're like,
and you're like,
wasn't that big of a deal.
I don't even know where quicksand exists.
Okay, that's a really
Mine
fun
was the
question.
DARE program, and that there was going to be someone standing on the street corner trying to give me drugs all the time. Like, I just felt like I was going to go to a gas station, and someone was going to be like, here's some weed tablets or something.
Like a Pez. Yeah.
I'm just like, that's called edible, people. Like, yeah.
Excuse you.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I've got a good one then. So I grew up on a lot of Rescue 911 and Unsolved Mysteries.
Me too.
And God help me, I love it. There's shows like that to this day.
Yes.
But to this day, I cannot leave the house without some form of identification or something because it's not like I live in like constant fear that like I could get stolen or
like
something
you do,
terrible.
Someone needs to know.
Yeah. I was like, what a horrible situation if I got into a car accident and no one knows who I am. Right. You know, like, because you hear, Or like little kids having to call 911 for their parents. I was like waiting for the day that was happening.
Yeah. They did drill that into you a lot. Like, you have to know your address.
You have to know your phone number.
But in hindsight, I'm just like, is that because they didn't have the technology to know where the fuck we were?
Right.
Like, you actually had to sort of say some address? Like, because now they bing you and you.
They're
listening
right now.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's like the only like super vain thing that I have done is that Isabel, because my daughter is dyslexic and she cannot get our phone number down.
Oh, honey.
I just looked at her one day and I was like, babe, mom is Googleable. It's fine. They'll find us.
Oh,
if you just know our names,
my sweet
someone
baby
will find
is,
us.
My sweet baby is like, I don't know how to dial that.
No, she can't. Well, she doesn't know how to dial. I mean, like, that's not a thing that happens anymore. She thought
for
a really
long time. Well, she
could probably
say call 911, though.
She could, but she would have to just say, hey, Siri. Like, she would just do, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they don't have to dial anything.
Right.
For a very long time, when she was, like, a toddler, she thought our last name was Mobile, because she would be like, Alex Perry,
Mobile. Oh, my
God. And I'm like,
we're of the mobile house.
Right. Like, that's
of,
not,
of
let me tell you a little something.
The mobile house.
Right.
Unfortunately, I have three questions in a row because two of them are our last ones.
Okay.
But the last two are simple. But my sort of other question is, what is the biggest piece of advice that you could give to yourself?
Hmm. This is a tough one.
And I
These
say
are always
that,
the humbling questions.
And I say that because I don't necessarily want people to talk to their youthful self, and I don't necessarily want someone to talk to their adult, or, you know, or older self. I'm just like...
Right now.
What?
Right
how? Now. What is a piece of advice that you would give yourself right now?
Coincidentally enough, and funny how the universe ordains such things, I was having a conversation on the telephone with one of my mentors from grad school, Bill Kincaid. And he said something just sort of in passing that just sort of hit me right in the stomach. And kind of touching again on, like, it's just been a hurricane of a year. And, like, through, like, the nitty-gritty of it, but something recently flared up again that was just like, I really just, this is really distracting. And he said, well, you know you're going to come out the other side of it, right? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, well, if you already know, just from past experiences with bad things happening, that you're going to get out on the other side, why not just live like you already have? And just, like, let that be okay. Acknowledge that, like, all of that's happening. And, like, man, remember when we went through that bad time? Why not just start living that future moment now? Which has been, like, I think the most astute way of talking about just, like, people just, like, just let it go, you know, like, which sort of makes me want to, like, slap them right in the face. It's like, yeah, cool, if I could just let it go, you know, like, we'd be there. But it just...
Live like you're on the other side of it, of the storm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Live like it's already in your
past.
Fond memories.
Yeah.
You know?
But you can't change the past.
No. It's already happened. It's done.
It's done.
So, what are you doing to create your future in a positive way?
Sounds fucking good to me.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Other question is there anything that you have not had the opportunity to say that you would like to say? Anything you want to pimp? Anything you want to say? Any words of advice? Tell the whole world to vote? I don't know. That's one.
I mean, that should go without saying. Yeah. I don't think so. I think this has been, like, an absolutely incredible chat. I mean, I've enjoyed getting to know the two of you, certainly.
It's just the beginning.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I'm so looking forward
it's
to it.
It's so fun.
Yes.
And then, yeah, I mean, we talk all the damn time. Anytime you want to come chat. I think this podcast started because I don't know how to shut
you
the hell
up.
Yeah. And then who should we hear from on the couch? You're actually kind of new to Kansas City, so is there anyone that you sort of met that we think would be amazing that we should sit down and talk with?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man alive. You know what? We talked about this just briefly beforehand a little bit. Not currently living here, but he's planning on coming back. I would love to hear Zeke Bocklage on the couch.
Mm-hmm. Zeke, we are definitely coming for him.
For sure.
I want to have a conversation with him.
Find him.
Yeah. He's a great dude, and I do, much like you, I know him peripherally, but not, I don't know everything about him.
Yeah.
So, that was our hour, babe.
Yeah.
Like, that was awesome. It happened so quickly. Next week on the couch, we will have Bradley J. Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
He is
amazing.
In our cast of Jesus Christ Superstar. Mm-hmm. We are right now, for our listeners who are just sort of tuning in, over the next few weeks, we're trying to have one member of either the cast, crew, staff of Jesus Christ Superstar, mostly so we can pimp the shit out of the show, but also because we all want to kind of get to know the people that are inside of our bubble right now here.
Absolutely.
And I've learned some exceptional things about people I've known for 10 years sitting here. So I'm really excited. So yeah, we'll have Bradley J on next week. I'll be a year older.
It's
next
week. We just passed
my
birthday
is next week, September 10th.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy cookie cakes or anything. So
right.
If you're listening,
we are exactly 1 month apart.
You're on October 10th?
August 10th.
I'm August 12th.
My mom's the 9th of October, so, like, it just
that's
bops.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Bops
it
right
just
on.
That's right.
Bops. my husband is the 11th of January. Weird.
True.
Actually,
most everybody in my life is a 9, 10, 12, like, some combination of ones, zeros, twos, and nines.
And don't you have that tattooed to you?
I do. It's on my. It's on my
penis.
Yes,
like,
I do.
Think that's tattooed to you. See, we tangent. Thank you. Thank you, Emily, for being on our show.
Thank
you
so much.
It was
for
such a
me.
Pleasure to get to know you, and I look forward to, I think, our next essentially month together.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Bring
that's
it
right.
on. Same.
Oh my god, it's going to be so cool. All right, well, we'll see you guys next week.
Yes,
okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Couch Chats is available locally on KOJH 104.7 and also on iTunes. Remember, that's Couch with a K. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this episode are solely those of Couch Chats, not the Arts Asylum, KOJH, or Mutual Musicians Foundation. Thanks again for listening, and please remember to rate, review, and subscribe, as well as follow us on Instagram. Tune in next week to see who we have on the couch.